Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Hallelujah. Because time is fast spent and I have a lot to share with you today, I want us quickly to go into the Word of God. Last week, what I spared you of, I've added it to today. So, fasten your seatbelt as we take off. Hallelujah. Are you also ready? Okay. As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. And our first reading is in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 21 to 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 22. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. Our second reading is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Is that the last verse 9? Is that the verse 9? Okay. Now, let's move to our last reading. Our last reading is Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And we're all going to read together. Hallelujah. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman." Are you reading with me? Let's read. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." As it pleases the Lord, we are wrapping up with our first sub-series, which is Understanding the Wolf. On the main series, we are at war. And today's message for our wrap-up is also a transitional message into our next series, sub-series, which is called The School of Warfare. So, in as much as we are transitioning from understanding the war, we are moving to the next phase of what? Our understanding, or the warfare, which is the school of warfare. In the kingdom of God, there are many schools that we are taking through. We are taking through many schools. So, we are taking through schools in very dimension, at very, very different dimensions and perspectives about understanding the kingdom. So, we have a school about the kingdom culture. We are taken to the school where we learn the kingdom values. There is one of the schools we have to go to, which is called the kingdom warfare, or the school of warfare, where we are armed, trained, and become better people to be able to defend and take hold of the territories for the Lord. So as we transition into that sub-series, we want to use this message as a wrap-up for the first one and also a transitional message. Then today's message is a very scary title. And the title is simple: "We must through many tribulations." We must through many tribulations. Open your ears, stay with me, because it's going to be a very good journey. Hallelujah. You see, I believe that one of the blunt scriptures in the Bible that makes it a necessity to teach the believer about warfare, build a believer for warfare, and prepare the believer holistically for warfare is Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It was a blunt statement that Apostle Paul made, that he said that we might, through many tribulations, inherit the kingdom of God. And today, that is going to be one of the focus of our journey and what we're going to be doing here. Hallelujah. The reason why we all came to Christ is not merely to escape destruction. That is a truth that we all have to establish. But to partake in the life, rule, glory, and inheritance of the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 17, if you can project for me, the whole salvation package is not only limited to we running from the kingdom of darkness. The whole salvation package is not about being delivered from the kingdom of darkness. To the kingdom package, the reason why we come to Christ has an aspect of what? Having not inheritance in Him. Has an aspect of what? Sharing in the glory of what? Of Christ. So that is not the only thing that we are looking at as being born again, leaving the kingdom of hell, becoming part of the kingdom of God. Are you following me? Now, when you read, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Can we continue on verse 17? And if children, then what? Heirs. So it means that there is an inheritance for us when we become born again. Heirs of God and joint heirs with you, Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together with him. So I'll come there. But the underlining statement is that we didn't run from the kingdom of darkness. We didn't accept Jesus only to escape what? Hell. Only to escape distractions that comes with this world. But to it, there is what? An inheritance. But this is the case. However, this kingdom we look forward to, Paul, in his exhortation to the church of Antioch, says that we must through many tribulations enter to this kingdom. It was not just a mere statement, it was an exhortation to let them know that what you are aspiring for, there is something that we have to go through. Hallelujah. Christian training that ignores the core demand to enter the kingdom and rather present Christianity without tribulation is a false teaching. Why am I saying so? Now, we are raising Christians of today where we are making them to look like Christianity is a soft life. You see, that is the kind of Christians we are raising today. It is painted to us that in Christ, there is no suffering. In Christ, everything is good to go. Butter and bread. Butter, my bread, sugar, my cocoa. So on, there's Jesus, they do. So when people come and they become born again, and certain realities are being exposed to them, they begin to think otherwise, that this has nothing to do with Christianity. And the moment you are trained with this mindset, that is a false teaching. Because it's a blunt statement that Paul made to the church of Antioch, that you must through many tribulations. And it's not that one person, all of us, enter the kingdom. So in as much as you are born again, we have promised you all those in the grace economy, there is an aspect of the Christian life that comes along with tribulation. You cannot enter without tribulation. So today, I want to expose us to that. That one of the understanding we have to have about this warfare is that as part of we going through this warfare, which comes with tribulation, it also prepares us for something beyond what we are suffering now. Are you on the same page? Amen. So if I ever told you that you will not suffer as a Christian, I've lied to you. That's a false teaching. And I believe I've never told you that. Yeah, you suffer. You say, somebody say suffer. Oh, say it louder. Say suffer. Yes, that is the Nigerian way of mentioning it. Ghana, we say suffer, but suffer. You have to suffer. Hallelujah. So let's read Matthew chapter 5 verse 10. Let's see what Jesus said over there. Oh no, give me 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. I like that one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of what? The kingdom of God, for which you also ought. So you for you to be counted worthy of God's kingdom, you must what? Suffer. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't like your face. I know you don't like suffering. Let me see, Mr. MC Soft Life. Can you lift up your hands? Yeah, I know you don't like it. But I have to tell you the truth today. That it's part of what we are out called to. So now, what is tribulation? I'm coming to talk about suffering today as one of it. What is tribulation? The Webster Dictionary defines tribulation as distress or suffering resulting from oppression or persecution. So when somebody is in distress or the person is suffering as a result of persecution or oppression, we call that what? Tribulation. Now in the Bible, how does the Bible define the concept tribulation? Tribulation implies the pressure out of distress, affliction, trouble, or suffering caused by opposition or difficult circumstances. That is how the Bible defines what? Persecution. Now, this definition is connected to the word that is translated as persecution. And that word is what? Thlipsis. But the P is silent. So it's what? Thlipsis. It's a Greek word. That's why I don't like teaching with these Greek words. But for today's concept, I have to use it. So Thlipsis. Thlipsis. Now, this translated word comes from the root idea of pressing, crushing, and compressing. So, this word that I spelled, that you have it in your notes, Don't ask me to mention it again. I don't want trouble. It's coming from the root idea of what? Pressing, crashing, and what? Compressing. Thus, the picture of biblical tribulation is created from the idea of being pressed, squeezed, crushed, or harmed in by what? Difficulty. So as a believer is going through tribulation, the biblical picture that is painted is that you are being squeezed. Eh? Yeah, you are being pressed. You know, in the crushing, in the pressing. Are you with me? Yes. By difficult situations. You are under some difficult situations. Like you can feel that. Let's move on. And we know that if we want to define that, see, in basic science knowledge, we all did science, right? So from our basic science knowledge, we know that pressing, squeezing, crushing, and compressing are basic application of what? The concept pressure. Is that not so? Hello? Is that not so? Good. Therefore, if thlipsis translated as tribulation implies the basic application of pressure, we can simply define tribulation as pressure from every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read it. So, another way the Bible calls tribulation is what? Pressure from what? Every side. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond what? Measure. Above strength, so that we despise even of what? Life. This was tribulation. Now, burdened beyond measure was other translation that we were pressed beyond what? Measure. Pressure from every side. When you become born again, one of the things you are going to know by experience is that pressure day everywhere for the believer. See, if you are seriously practicing Christianity, you find out that there is pressure everywhere. It is eclipses that you are going through. You are going through tribulation. So when the believer is under pressure from every angle, financial pressure, spiritual attacks, here, there, you are worthy of the kingdom. You are passing the test. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't like the message, I'll still preach it. I'm not looking at your face. I'm not looking at your face. I'll preach it. This is the reason why Apostle Paul often used tribulation to describe the pressure believers face for the gospel. That is what our second reading gave us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Said in verse 7, he said that there are these treasures in earthen vessels. Okay? That the excellency will be of what? Of God. And excellency and the power will be of God. Then he continued. How does this earthen treasures come out? Listen to what he said in verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side. That is tribulation. Yet not what? Crushed. We are perplexed, but not what? In despair. Move on. He didn't say I am. He said we. So please, you are included. This was written for you. Persecuted, but not for what? Forsaken. Struck down, but not what? Destroyed. It is part of the believer's walk. And it is part of the knowledge of the warfare we have to understand. So there can never be a true Christian life without pressure everywhere. There can never be a true Christian life without you not being pressed, hard pressed. As if you are, Paul said that we were pressed beyond measure that we didn't even love our life. See, there are things people have gone through in life, eh? It's a point to say, okay, Lord, I'm not better than my forefathers. At this point, me too, I want to check out. You see, there are times that your life comes to a point as a Christian. You see, somebody said, because you have decided to live by certain principle, I will let you suffer. There are sisters, mostly, who qualify for certain jobs, who can be promoted, who should have been working at certain places, but because they've made the decision that for the sake of the gospel, they will stand and never give in. In fact, even buying part becomes difficult for them. Whereas they are qualified to do those jobs. Somebody looked at a lady and said, ah, by you, it's not like, no, said, the job is yours. You are just playing hard. And yes, till you sleep and your head is open in Accra here. You see the pressure in Accra. Your landlord is coming, everything is hitting you. And somebody said that just one instance and can get a job that can pay you 10,000 Ghana cedis. You can go for vacation at wherever you want to go to. You say, you're not good. No, I have chosen this life. Pressure everywhere. You see, this is what I'm talking about. It's part of the Christian life. And so where is God? No, God is there. You have seen it. Now you understand why you have to go through it. Let's move on. Hallelujah. So what he wants to communicate to us is not merely pain itself, but pressure that tests endurance and faith. So it is not that God wants to subject you to what? Pain. But this pressure is to make your faith endurance. So if any believer is not exposed to tribulation, pressure everywhere, that believer will not grow in faith. Some of you, the things you are going through, sometimes when we pray to God, God just tells us, you allow you. So Paul said, for this thing, I have prayed 3 times unto the Lord, that he may leave this affliction. But I said, my grace is what? Some of you have to go through it. You see that job you are chasing that you are not getting? You have been looking for a job for 2 years, 3 years. You got it. Yes, you are pressed. Hard pressed. Feel like life again. Give it up. You have been trying that thing for years. You have helped people. People are doing well. You hear the testimony. I said today, the message I'm going to preach. You hear the testimony that people are giving. You help others. They are doing well. You are still there. Sometimes it seems like God is asleep. He's not asleep. It's part of the training. So we must through what? Many tribulations. So that we will be worthy of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the concept of tribulation in this world. The believer going through tribulation are not just teachings of apostles in the epistles. It is a statement of truth that our Lord Jesus himself made to us. In the book of John chapter 16 verse 33. The believer going through tribulation in this world was not just a teaching by the epistles or the apostles. It was a statement of fact that Jesus made to us. Listen to what he said. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace in me. So the moment you leave him as a believer, your peace is gone. Why? Why would you want to have peace? He said, in the world you will not have what? Tribulation. But be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus didn't spare us. He has already told us. So I don't know why you are complaining that you are being pressed. It is part of the package you sign up for. Or they didn't tell you when you were signing up. Or they didn't tell you. Okay, today I've told you. You are informed. You are duly noted. So it is not just a teaching or something that the apostles wanted to tell us. It is a statement of fact that Jesus made, that because we chose him, there will be what? Tribulations for us in this world. Hallelujah. So mostly many people restrict this statement Jesus made in John chapter 16 verse 33 to what? Persecution only. But the word tribulation goes beyond being persecuted. Many times when we talk about this scripture, we think that it's about persecution only. But the word used over here, the persecution here, goes beyond. Tribulation goes beyond what? Persecution. So let's look at some of the concepts that falls within persecution. Number one, let's go. Persecution is one of the concepts of tribulation. Hardship is one. One expression of tribulation is what? Hardship. Ehia oda. Pastor, let me see my hands. Omo ehia oda. Those of you who are living on MTN Momo, can I see you? That I have a witness in the church? You have stopped using your SIM. Now, if you want to send you money, some of you have to ask you, can I send it through this line? Poverty is not bastard, though. Now, this one is called hardship, persecution. God is training you. Okay. Emotional distress. Somebody said, I can't think far. The pressure on you, oppression. You are being oppressed for no reason. Suffering. Severe trials. Severe trials. You see, sometimes something can happen to you and say, why should it happen to the believer? Please prepare if you have not experienced it, because the Bible says we must through tribulation. So please check out these things I've mentioned. If you have not suffered them yet, prepare. No one will escape it as long as you have to be worthy of the kingdom. Prepare yourself. Don't say, Pastor, they didn't tell me. I mean, I told you. So when you come, I'll comfort you. Jesus himself, if you comfort, said that, take cheer, for I've overcome. Jesus said, I'll take it off. So I said, take cheer, sister. We are all passing through. Everybody is suffering some. Hallelujah. So, spiritual attacks. All this forms part of what? The believer's what? Oppression. Tribulation. So, it's not about you being persecuted alone. Hardship is an expression of what? Persecution. It is part of your training. So, don't think that if you are going through hardship, does not make you a believer. Sometimes, it makes you think like faith does not exist. Please, check the concept of faith. There is the expression of faith to go through tribulations. And then there's the expression of faith to receive from God. Go and read Hebrews 11 again. That was the true faith. Some what were killed. Others did not even what consider their life. They were able to go through tribulations as a result of what? Faith. So one expression of faith is when you suffer hardship. What can you share to encourage somebody if you have not slept and ate only garri and water? Hallelujah. You don't like the message, but I'll still preach it. Amen. So that is what tribulation is. Now, the cause of tribulation. How does tribulation fall in our pursuit of the warfare? The reason tribulation exists is because there is resistance against God's rule, truth, righteousness, and those who belong to Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. The reason why we are going through tribulation is because there's resistance against God's rule. There's war. And one major side effect of what? War is what? Tribulation. Can we read the scripture? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Suffer what? Church, please help me. Yes. All who do what? Desire to live godly in Christ will do what? Will suffer what? Persecution. So the cause of tribulation is because you've chosen Christ. Have you heard that people used to say that when I was not born again, all was well? Should I close? I want to ask, have you heard what people used to say that when I started taking Christ serious, it seems I've gone towards set. Why we're not serious with Christ? You see, life was smooth. Hello. You could do whatever you feel like doing. There were stupid friends who were willing to support you. The moment you said, today, I want to live all for Christ. That is the day that everything turned upside down. This is because of persecution. You are going through persecution because of the decision you have made. Hallelujah. And therefore, tribulation is deeply connected to the reality of war between the kingdom of God and the rebellion of Satan. You cannot disassociate tribulation from the war that has already taken place. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 17, which is the concluding part of the whole warfare issue in Revelation, talked about that the man didn't stop. He continued to persecute. Went after that, the springs or the seedlings of the woman, and the woman was Christ, and the seed of the woman or the offsprings of the woman is the church. So when Lucifer lost the war in heaven and came on earth with his wrath, one of the expressions of that wrath, which is the war he's warring, is to persecute, give you tribulation. So if you become born again, you have signed up for suffering. You have signed up. Paul said, we are pressed so hard. You are pressed, but you're not crushed. So anybody tells you that, that aspect is there. The milk will be withdrawn. The annual taste so now. Then you know, say that Christianity and no be small joke. A Christian sister will marry, keep herself, marry a godly marriage, and 3 years, no pregnancy. Those who have committed abortion 15, or the boss who are not on him. Then the question is, God, why me? What now? Who else? Who else? It's you. Because you have decided to sign up for a life that the devil doesn't want you to sign up for. So he said, those who desire godly life in Christ will suffer. It's not may suffer, will. It's not conditional. It's a statement of truth. So don't think that what you are going through is not part of the thing you have signed up for. It's part of it. Hallelujah. Amen. They didn't lie to you. That is the reality. We are all going through it. Amen. Now, let's look at two forms of tribulation that every individual will be exposed to. Two forms of tribulation. Hallelujah. First, we have what we call the tribulation from spiritual opposition. There's a tribulation you go through as a result of what? Spiritual what? Opposition. This comes because the enemy resists God's people. Example of this spiritual opposition tribulation is persecution. Thank God that the persecution in Ghana here is not by physical killings. But we've heard some of the stories in the northern part of Nigeria. Have you heard it? Where one pastor has to bury 13 members for a period of 6 months. And he was on the grave burying the last group of people. He couldn't hold it. How many of you watched that video? He couldn't hold it. He said they should take his life. I think that was a video that provoked the President Trump to start stepping into matters. They killed them because they said they are Christians. Spiritual opposition. We thank God, Ghana. But Ghana, we are having also our first year. There are things that we go through here. Now, it is becoming very, very obvious. People don't know. Even if you want to auditorium, if they're meant to mention church, they'll deny you. They don't want you to have a place to even to worship. There are rules and things that are coming up. Number two, afflictions. Do you know that people take joy to see the believer afflicted? People can lie on you because you're a Christian. Eh? People can sit down and cook stories. Emotional affliction. Maybe I'm speaking to myself, hello. It is a sign. Because you chose to be a Christian, they will afflict you physically and spiritually. Emotionally. There are certain rules that can be passed at the workplace, at where you are, just because they want to afflict you. I remember when we were in school, one time, a decision came. All churches cannot worship in any of the lecture halls. We were subjected to sand and go and look for a place. Now, some days, when you come and when it rains, if you see how our legs becomes, and when the sun is scorching, how? But they were doing that. It's a pure persecution. A pure tribulation we're going through. Hatred from the world and others. You know, now, it is very difficult for a Christian to... Now, in some part of the world, when you mention Jesus, you can be prosecuted. In one country, a teacher mentioned the name of Jesus and the teacher is serving 2 years imprisonment. I'm talking of Australia. In classroom, for mentioning the name Jesus. What does the name that? When he mentioned Jesus, did somebody go blind? Somebody became deaf and dumb? But the hatred that the world has for the name Jesus and all that identify with him is getting to a point that now a name Jesus alone can send you to prison. When you go to the developed country, you try it. Are we on the same page? Good. Now, Jesus connected this tribulation directly to the world's hostility towards him and his followers. John 15, verse 18 to 20. John chapter 15, verse 18 to 20. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his what? His master. If they persecuted me, they will also what? Persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours what? Also. Was Jesus persecuted? Yes. So one of the form of what? Tribulation we go through is spiritual what? Tribulation. Connected to what? Spiritual what? Opposition. I pray that God will give you grace. I pray that God will give us grace. Yes. So that when we are pressed so much, we don't give up. Hallelujah. Now the second one is tribulation
from living in the fallen creation. Beyond direct demonic attacks, humanity lives in a world damaged by sin, which naturally brings tribulation in forms of what? Sickness. See, the lives we are living now, as a result of the sinful nature in man, okay, is also contributing to the tribulations we are going through. Very soon, you will find it difficult that water will be the most expensive commodity in Ghana. Very soon. That's why you don't put it on the devil. Are you with me? Yes. Injustice, physical death, sorrows are all as a result of what? The fallen state of what? The creation we have now. And it is part of what? The tribulation as a result of what? The fallen nature of what? Creation. Now, this form of tribulation is what? Romans chapter 8 verse 20 to 22. Let's read it. Romans 8 verse 20 to 22 describes that creation is groaning under corruption. Because the corruption that creation has been exposed to, it brings birth to what? Suffering, all kinds of things that we go through. For the creation was subjected to what? Futility. Not willing, but because of him who subjected it in what? In hope. Let's go on. 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from what? The bondage of what? Corruption. Into the glorious liberty of the children of what? Of God. The last one. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until what? Until now. So until Christ came, the creation that we had here was as under groaning, as subjected to futility. So human life and behavior is bringing destruction, bringing pain, distress, and sorrow out to the individual as a result of the fallen nature of man. Amen. Amen. So beyond the demonic attacks and everything that we go through, human behaviors as a fallen nature is also causing us pain. It's also making us all suffer. Look at what the politicians are doing to us. Are we there?
Good.
Now, let's come now describe tribulation to you, right? The Bible said we must through what? Tribulation enter into the kingdom. So the question is, why is the kingdom a reward or a tribulation a means to enter into the kingdom? Now, I want to give you comfort. So that when you go through tribulation, you know that it's worth it to what? Go through it. Now let's look into it. Why should the believer accept or go through tribulation? That is the whole thing under this part. So in our main scriptures we read in the book of Acts chapter 14, the Bible established that for us to enter the kingdom of God, we must go through our tribulation. For us to accept this truth that, okay, I want to go through tribulation, then we must understand why the merit of the kingdom for our tribulation. And to understand the merit of the kingdom for our tribulation, then we have to study the concept of the kingdom in its what? Manifestation and its reality. Then we know why there's an aspect of our life that should be tribulation to help us enter the kingdom. Are we on the same page? Okay. So now, to accept this, we have to bring some clarity to the concept of the kingdom and its relationship to our tribulation. Now, whenever we mention kingdom, especially in the New Testament, it's either we are talking about kingdom or reality or kingdom manifestation. The statement the kingdom of God in the Bible is not a statement to be taken on the face value. Whenever we mention the kingdom of God in scriptures, we have to look at what dimension or expression of the kingdom are we talking about. Because the kingdom of God has two faces or two expressions. And we have to understand so that we understand how tribulation contributes to what we become. Hallelujah. Let's take the first one. Kingdom reality. What does it mean? This refers to the present spiritual reign and activities of God through Christ. Luke chapter 17 verse 21. There is a description of the kingdom of God which we call kingdom reality, which stands for the present spiritual reign of Christ, or the reign of God's activity through Christ on this earth. We call that kingdom reality. We are going to look at how it is. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Nor would they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is what? Within what? You. So the Bible is talking about, it said, there's a kingdom of God what? Within what? Us. This kingdom is talking about is called the kingdom reality. The present manifestation of God's activity in the life of people. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, he was talking of this dimension of the kingdom, which was already operating with evidence. So we are going to look at the evidence of this kingdom. Are you with me? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said that if by the finger of God I'm able to cast out demons, then it means that the kingdom of God is what? Is among you. He's talking about the kingdom reality. So when kingdom reality is at work, what are the evidence? Number one, demons are out. It is because of the kingdom reality. That's what demons are being cast out. Number two, lives are being transformed. Number three, sins forgiven. It was the kingdom that made it possible that Jesus could declare that thy sin is what? Forgiven. So the Jewish people had an issue with Jesus when Jesus made that statement that, oh woman, your sins are forgiven. He said, who art thou to be able to what? Forgive sin. And the reality is because the kingdom reality is working out among them. If that kingdom was not here, sins cannot be forgiven. Another most important thing about the kingdom reality as an evidence is people being born again. And the last one, God's authority invading Satan's what? Domain. Are you all there? So the kingdom reality, this is the evidence that, oh, okay, kingdom reality is what? At work. Now, in Paul's description of this, the nature of the kingdom reality, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, he described it as what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, wherever you see righteousness, peace, and joy operating, there is kingdom what? Reality working there. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. For as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed God, who gives life to the dead and call those things which do not exist as though exist. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and what? And drinking. But it is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy, all in what? The Holy Ghost. So when we talk about this kingdom, are you following me? The nature of that kingdom reality is righteousness, joy, and what? And peace. The evidence is that demons are what? Being cast out. People are born again. The power of God is invading what? The dominion of, or the domain of what? The kingdom of darkness. Are we all on the same page now? Good. Follow me. What I'm doing, you understand why Paul said we must through tribulation. He's talking about a particular kingdom. Hallelujah. Because this scripture, kingdom reality, if you read it very well, you see that the Bible says that we are already in the kingdom. So what other kingdom are we entering? What was the kingdom Paul talking about we're going to enter? If we don't digest the concept kingdom war, we will not understand the importance of what we are talking here. So follow me. Hallelujah. Now, access to this kingdom reality. Jesus taught that the entry into the present kingdom, which is the kingdom reality, begins with spiritual birth. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said to him that until or unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That kingdom he was talking about is the kingdom of reality. It exists spiritual. It's a spiritual, intangible move of God that is living within men. Are we on the same page? And living in it stands on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. As we read Romans chapter 14, verse 17. So access to this kingdom reality is being born again. And living in that kingdom stands on the empowerment of what? The Holy Spirit. Therefore, this spiritual birth is only possible through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. Mark chapter 1, verse what? 15. So to be born into the kingdom is by what? Repentance. Okay? By what? Repentance and what? Faith in Christ Jesus as what? Your Lord and personal Savior. So if anybody wants to assess this kingdom reality, the person must be born again. How does the person become born again? Repentance and what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Mark 1:15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and what? Believe in what? In the gospel. Are you on the same page? Therefore, the life of kingdom reality begins with the regeneration of man's spirit as a result of receiving the life of Christ through repentance. The evidence of the life of Christ living in the person is seen in the obedience and submission to God's rule. So when somebody enters the kingdom, how we will know is that the person begins to submit to the ruling of God. Because the spirit of the person is regenerated by not the spirit of Christ living in the person. Are we on the same page? Now, let's summarize or finish with kingdom reality. Then when we finish, we compare the two of them. Which of them is posted through tribulation? We will enter. Experiencing the kingdom. Paul explains that kingdom reality in his teaching in Romans chapter 14 verse 17. That kingdom reality is experienced through the Holy Spirit. That is, the Spirit brings believers into experiential knowledge through, number one, communion with God. I'm not running with you because I want to get to the main point, so I just want to move fast with this. Communion with God. Number two, spiritual authority. Number three, transformation. And number four, access to what? Heavenly what? Realities. So in this kingdom reality, how we experience it is through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live in the believer, the Holy Spirit will give the believer the reality of the kingdom through what? Communion with God. Through what? Spiritual authority. So the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is what? Of, is not of words, but it is of what? Power. How? By the Holy Spirit. Are we all there? Transformation. Said the Spirit that what rose Jesus from what? Death. If that Spirit what? Liveth in you, it shall bring forth transformation. So the Holy Spirit lives in the believer, transforms the believer. That's how we experience the kingdom reality. So when you enter the kingdom, experiencing and enjoying that kingdom is based on your connectivity to the Holy Spirit. You cannot do without the Holy Spirit in kingdom reality. Are we on the same page? Amen. Now we have access to what? Heavenly what? Realities. This is kingdom reality. And if you read the Bible talks about it, kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, it said he has translated it from the kingdom of darkness into the what? Light of his marvelous and the kingdom of what? God. So the believer is already in the kingdom. So what was Paul talking about? That we must through tribulation enter. Which of them? Are we already not in the kingdom? Are we already not there? No, you know that it is this kingdom that butter my bread, sugar my cocoa is. Oh, kingdom reality. Access to heavenly things. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, he said that he has given us all things, right? In heavenly places. We are blessed with all spiritual things in heavenly places. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. He has given us all things what? For life and what? Godliness. Kingdom reality. Access. Everything is there. That is a place we tell you that, oh, you travel to abroad. Oh, by faith. You don't want to travel. Okay, let me move on. You marry in Jesus' name. You become billionaire. Is that also? That is kingdom reality speaking. You see, the Bible wants you to experience that. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's talking about kingdom reality. Now, once it is this what? Spiritual. Kingdom reality is what? A spiritual what? Move of God. So you will not see a physical location as this is where the kingdom of God is physically. No. It's a spiritual thing. That's why there is no nation that is a Christian nation. All nations in the world are secular. Yes, some are Christianized. America is not constituted or ruled by the Bible. The Bible is not a constitution of America. True of us. Yes. Because if it is God's kingdom, the constitution is what? The Bible. So kingdom reality is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And these are the things that comes with it. With the help of the Holy Spirit. Realities, kingdom realities, accessibility. We command demons and they are falling off. We do this and it's happening. Kingdom realities. Full of grace. Hallelujah. But when we come to kingdom manifestation, the story changes. Though realm is real now. It is not yet fully manifested outwardly on earth. We don't have the physical representation of the kingdom on earth. When God created Adam, the idea was to establish his kingdom, because the earth is an extension of his kingdom. And he wants it to be what? Physically what? Manifested. It was not something spiritually. Physical presence of God. Physical thing, everything outwardly, that men will see it. But it did not happen. So right now, evil still exists through of us. Even when God is it. You see, what the Spirit of the Lord is. And the light shine and darkness what? Comprehended it not. Are we still not seeing darknesses around us? So how can the kingdom? And you know that two kingdoms cannot coexist. Is that also? It happened. But we are still seeing what? Evil. Death still what? Operates. Is it not happening? Satan still deceives people. Is that also? Satan is still active. Believers are still suffering. Are not suffering? Creation is still what? Groaning. So the kingdom is present, but not yet universally what? Revealed. Invisible what? Dominion. The manifestation of the kingdom is when Christ openly establishes rule and removes all opposition. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. So right now, what we are enjoying is the kingdom reality. But there's an aspect of the kingdom that is yet to come. And that aspect of the kingdom is called the kingdom manifestation. When that kingdom comes, all oppositions will be removed. And it will be an outward physical establishment of God's word, rule on it. God, this is headquarters. This way it is. Are we on the same page? Let's read. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and what? And all power. That kingdom will come. It's surely what? Will come. Are we on the same page? Therefore, kingdom manifestation is the visible rule, total victory, removal of evil, resurrection glory, and universal acknowledgement of Christ. That has not happened yet. There are people who still don't believe in Christ. Two of us. Oh, are you on the same page with me? There are people who still don't believe in Christ. So the kingdom has not manifested yet. But it is in reality. We are experiencing it. We are experiencing kingdom reality in us. But there's an aspect of the kingdom that is going to what? Manifest. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15. You can read it. Therefore, the kingdom manifestation would be what? Initiated by the second coming of Christ, which will be characterized with inheritance, reigning with Christ in full participation of what? The revealed what? Kingdom. The first coming of Christ, the Bible says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That first coming of Christ was a manifestation or a revelation of the kingdom reality. Where the Spirit of God will reside in men, where God will rule in the heart of men, it's a spiritual invisible dimensions of operation of God's kingdom. So humans are carrying the kingdom of God around, and how you see that kingdom is what I said, demons are being cast out, people are being born again, lives are being transformed, darkness is being what? Kicked out. But we are talking about another kingdom that will come. When that kingdom comes, these are the evidence. It is time for inheritance. People will reign with Christ. Can we read a scripture? Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 to 6. So, you see, right now, all that the kingdom is doing with us is the manifestation of the power of God. Are you with me? We are casting out demons. People are being born again. We are dealing with demonic powers. The next phase of the kingdom that will come is not going to be about casting out demons. It's going to be what? Inheritance and what? And reigning with Christ. On this very earth, before even this earth will be wrapped up, follow me. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast of his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned Are you with me? They did what? They lived and what? Reigned with Christ for what? 1,000 years on this earth. This experience of reigning with Christ is never automatic. It's never automatically or guaranteed to anyone. There is a requirement. So there's an aspect of the kingdom, God's kingdom, that is characterized by what? Reigning. To rule and participate fully in whatever the kingdom is doing. We have not started reigning with Christ, but that aspect of the kingdom is going to come. That aspect is not guaranteed for everybody. There's a requirement. So, requirement into the kingdom manifestation. Remember the requirement to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of reality, right? By being what? Born again. Is that not it? Through what? Repentance. Is that also? Look at this one. Requirement into kingdom manifestation is majorly characterized by one key thing: perseverance through tribulations. So Acts chapter 4 verse 22 was not talking about kingdom reality. He was talking about kingdom manifestation, where we are going to reign with Jesus. And that one, the only way you can partake in that kingdom and also enter, have access to that kingdom, is perseverance towards tribulation. So you know now why it's worth for the believer to go through what? Tribulation. Perseverance prepares the believer for kingdom inheritance by producing maturity, fruitfulness, and endurance required for reigning with Christ. Now, the Bible makes it clear. Let me take you through it. There are 5 things that tribulation will do to you if you persevere in it. 5 things. Now, if you want to partake in the kingdom to come, which is the kingdom manifestation, then tribulation is necessary to give birth to certain things in you. And when you persevere in it, by the time I'm done, you find out what the Bible said the believer should overcome. Endure. Stand. Have you come across those scriptures? That he that overcome it. Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. And Jesus kept saying that, and he that overcome it. It is about the kingdom coming. Perseverance. And it's necessity. And you don't know how important this is. See, the reason why Christians are choosing soft life is because we have not yet exposed to them what is yet to come and how so huge it is to miss out. It's not enough to be born again and enter heaven. There's going to be so much pain to believers who were not able to persevere. And the perseverance is as a result of the warfare we are going through. So you have to learn to persevere. That's why you have to go through the school of what? Warfare. Soldiers are trained not only to fight, but how to survive when they are arrested. How to survive when they find themselves in difficult times. So the things that they will torture people with, you will see that they will torture soldiers the same thing. Have you ever watched those kind of movies before? So you see that as part of their training, they can put them on electric shock. They can waterboard them. Take them to all kinds of what? Torture. Not because they want to break them, but they want to teach them how to persevere when they find themselves in tribulation. So the reason why we have to take you through the school of warfare is not only about how to fight, but because tribulation is a requirement for us to enter the kingdom yet to manifest, we must persevere. So if you die out of hardship, it's a great gain. See, let us not. See, the reason why people are choosing many lives, what they are doing, they are taking, is because they don't understand that there is a great gain for what we suffer. You think the things you are forsaking? Oh, look at this beautiful girl here looking at me. Do you think that right now, if she wants a Mercedes Benz, she can't get it? Princess, can't you get it? But she has forsaken it to take trotro. Fight with mates. Fight other people for space when there are no cars. But she has everything that can get her Mercedes Benz. You think it is this kind of sacrifice will go unrewarded? that she would, right now, if she had given up in her perseverance and has given out herself, she could have been working in one of the big companies, traveling around, having the fun of life. But she said, no, I will not do that. Let me eat Gary. Let me suffer. Because I believe in something. And you think that this is is nothing. Many believers think that these things that people are taking a stand for, people are dying because of what they believe in. They would rather die than rather to give their life to certain things. And indeed, they died. People have died poor, not because they didn't have opportunity, but they just can't choose Christ. They can't just choose that over Christ. And you think that God is unjust? I said there is a rain 1,000 years waiting for us. The stakes are high. So perseverance is required. So we will go through tribulations because perseverance will be born out of us. I pray for you. See, never think that what you are going through is wasted. It can never be wasted. So we must do many tribulations. Enter the kingdom of manifestation. Now, quickly. Perseverance, number one. The reason why God will let us go through tribulation to bring out perseverance to us is that, number one, perseverance proves genuine faith. Trials reveals whether faith is real and steadfast. See, if you are a fake Christian, we will know by trials. A fake Christian. Everybody, my brother. I said I want to be a Christian. I have decided to help myself. Sometimes they'll come and give you this encouragement, and you don't know what people are going through. So what? If you are going through it, the Bible says we are worthy of what we have suffered for the sake of the kingdom. It's perseverance. It's not everybody who would come out of what they are going through. Some people will die in it. That is how it is. And that, you see, that's why the reward will not be the same. Because somebody cannot die going through a persecution, trials, and expect you to what? Share the same with the person who didn't go through that trials. Or you cannot receive the same. So if you are also selected, that you die out of that trials. Look at David. He never had rest. He fought throughout his entire life till he died. The Bible said that David, after serving his people according to the will of God. So it was the will of God that the 40 years of David on earth ruling would be war. If it was you, what will you say? Some of you, from the day you gave your life to Christ, you have been praying against family altars, and I tell you, you will not stop praying till you die. Because that is the will of God. That you will serve a generation that when that generation comes, you have dealt with the altars, and then they can now build. So what did Solomon do? He came to build. Because the land has been dealt with. You are here crying. Now why me? Now who else? Suffer it. Some of you, you can't sleep every night. Yes, we Jimmy or Yesu Buame. Every night, Jesus, where are you? Angels of God at work. Because the enemy has read ahead. You have prayed throughout the entire world. David fought 40 years of his life. He died. He died a fighter. And the Bible said he served his people according to the will of God. Who are you? So, through faith to be born, we will know whether your faith is a fake one or indeed is the faith that was passed on to us. When trials, severe trials come to you. When you are going to trials, what are the comments that you pass? David said that I have held my lips, I will not sin against God. James chapter 1 verse 4. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. The test of true faith is perseverance, and tribulation will let you persevere. The things you suffer, we will know whether you can survive. That the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by hot fire, may be found toward praise, honor, and glory at the hot revelation of. You see, at the hot revelation of. So when Christ revealed, we will know the fire you have gone through. Number two, perseverance produces spiritual maturity. Endurance shapes the believer into kingdom completeness, which is what? Sonship. Which is a requirement for inheritance in the kingdom. Only sons are going to inherit the kingdom. And how kingdom sons are born is through perseverance. And tribulation is a major contributing factor. James chapter 1 verse 4.
James chapter 1 verse 4.
But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. Perseverance, tribulation.
So do you know something? When God wants to give you Egypt to rule over as the prime minister, he will first of all let your brother sell you as a slave. Yes, and see how you survive in that hole. Now, when you move from there and then you come to the house of Potiphar, and then it seems like everything looks fine. Do you understand? Joseph was having peace in the house of Potiphar, and then the wife said, "You, this guy, I'll give you trouble." The guy was innocently doing his job until somebody said, "You, I will persecute you. I will cause you affliction." Started chasing this boy. What happened to him? Sent him to what? Prison. When he thought that everything is over, the life has taken another out. It is to complete the work in him. By the time Joseph came out of prison, when he met his brothers, revenge was gone. Imagine Joseph met his brothers maybe before he even entered the house of Potiphar. Do you know what you could have done to them? If it were, is it, you think, yeah, God will train you, some of you, the kind of wickedness that is in your heart. It will take tribulation to take it out. The kind of wickedness, the kind of hardiness in you. See, because the people God will bring to you, if love does not lead you, you will kill them all. So God has to sack Moses 40 years out of the palace, subject him to training, persevere on, so that when he came, he was, the Bible called, a man who was meek. He is now a son. Now he can inherit. See, the kingdom that we are going to reign in, it must have the same outcome of Christ. So some of you, God will let you go through. See, that boss will deal with you. See, that boss, he will deal with you fully. That sister or brother you have not done anything to will make your life hellfire. It's God who has allowed it. So that he will deal with all things that can stand in the way in you able to what?
To rule.
Perseverance. So says, write this down. Suffering develops the character, obedience, and steadfastness necessary for rulership with Christ. Suffering. Next one. Perseverance keeps believers steadfast until the end. Matthew chapter 24 verse 13. Jesus said, "Those who shall endure to the end are the ones I will save." See, some people, they will suffer till they die. It's not that they are cursed. It is part of the path God has put them. You see, do you know why those days, the Gold Coast era, before the Gold Coast era, the whites, the Protestants, left the comfort of their country and come to Ghana to die by mosquito bite? Go to Osu, move around, and you see graves of these people who came knowing very well that this thing, you are not going back alive, and they gladly accepted it. Today, when we send you to Northern Region, even Northern Region is too far, let me send you to one of the close towns here. The kind of facial expression you give when we take some of you to missions, to more exposure, you want to die. They said the one who can endure to the end is the one God will save. Never think that you want, you see, if you want to really partake in the kingdom, be ready for persecution. Be ready for what? Tribulation. It's part of it. We can't escape it. But he who endures, dear it, to what? The end shall be what? Shall be saved. May God give you grace to endure. Hallelujah. Last one. Perseverance conforms believer to Christ. Do you know that Christ himself, when he became man, must go through tribulations, as he has already told us. must go through tribulations to become who he is as man, not as God. Inherit God's kingdom as man. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Let's listen to what the Bible said about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. I'll be wrapping up soon. Though he was a son, are you following? Yet he learned what? Obedience by the things which what? Oh, come on, help me. By the things which what?
Jesus was not excluded. If you think that the Bible said that, and we all being worked together, he said that we all will come to the conformation of Christ, the same stature and stature, efficiency, measure up to the stature of Christ. Suffering was part of it. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, let's listen to what Apostle Paul said. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Apostle Paul. And if children, then heirs of what? God. That's how I'll come back to this scripture. And joint heirs with what? Christ. How do we become? If indeed we suffer what? With him. Then we may also fight what? So you have to suffer. I know you don't like the message today, but we are all going to suffer. Amen. Yes. Yes, we're going to suffer. The attacks, that all things we are going through, is because it has to strengthen us. That one day we can also say we bear the mark of Christ. Trouble us not, we bear the mark. We have suffered for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. Amen. See, these things I tell you so that when we prepare you, and tell that some of you, see, your life must be poured out as a drink. Off it. See that dreams you have. Eh? God will kill it. You must through tribulations. Marcion and the wife never had a child. They died without not having their own biological children. But now look at Church of Pentecost. If it was you, what would you have said to God? Married, faithful, but no children till they died. That was the price they paid. Though. You must pay the price. Though. Amen. So therefore, we have come to realize now that when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are looking at kingdom what? Reality and kingdom manifestation. Kingdom reality does not cost us much. It is just free for us. We just need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, and we enter that kingdom. We now have access to the Holy Ghost, who through him we are able to commune with God, exercise authority, and have all these things where we are able to access the things of the kingdom for free because of the Holy Spirit living in us. But is that all to the kingdom? No. There's another kingdom come. So the stakes are high. What are the stakes here? There is nothing worth of giving up the opportunity to reign 1,000 years with Christ on this very earth. Let me tell you some story. Then I'll close. In class 3, I remember very well. I just hope I'm not going to shed tears in saying this thing. I was a very brilliant student. Very, very good student. You know, those days, our day was a big deal, right? My parents are just farmers who just came to the village farming. It was our day. My dad didn't have money. There's no money anywhere. The best student in the class. Do you know what I took to our day? Yam and kundumri stew. I didn't get our day dress. I have to wear my own uniform and go. When my mom finished preparing everything, she looked at me and told me that today it is yam that you are taking to school. Don't worry. Very soon, the rice that your friends are eating, you eat it more and in more years than them. I was very young, class 3. 8 years. I carried that food crying under the cocoa tree. Because when I went, my colleagues, they laughed at me. I couldn't eat my food in the, because you know our day, no, we opened the food, we all, I couldn't. Now, here I am. What my mom said was true. I can eat any variety of rice food I want now. I don't think there is anything that is worth it that we should forsake the opportunity to live 1,000 years with God on this earth. No man on earth right now even crosses 100 years. the best of life that people are living, they do it for 30 years. Imagine that the life that Elon Musk is living, Jesus is promising you that life for 1,000 years. Imagine the life of the richest man on this world, the best of whatever thing. What else can we give to exchange that kind of life? The stakes are high. So where is that by tribulation we should enter the kingdom of God? It's worth it. I'll rather die eating Gary and have 1,000 years of all kinds of enjoyment. Let me tell you, there's a religion that has promised people 72 virgins, and people are doing all kinds of things because of that promise. You have been promised 1,000 years of rain. Look at what you are doing. That small thing you are going through, that hunger that is you are going through right now, is it worth it? Today I stand here and I'm telling you that that yam and kontom stew I ate was a short time. Now, whatever kind of food, even though I've not got into the full manifestation, but what my mom told me was not a lie. It was one time experience, but now it doesn't happen again. If I'd given something for that, if I'd given my life to go for rice and stew and chicken at the expense of studying and being motivated that this sacrifice is worth it, I wouldn't be here today. Church, I want to ask you, what at all, what kind of pain, what kind of thing can we go through that is not worth these 1,000 years of rain? No man has experienced it, not even Adam, not even Methuselah. I'm talking of this earth. The Bible says we will reign. The as concept reign means that you are going to have the full access to everything on this earth. Is it a jet? Is it a private jet you are thinking about? Is it a yacht? What else? You just think of the best that men are having. We are going to have the more of it for 1,000 years. See, let me die poor and have this life. I said, if people have been promised 72 virgins and they can kill, and you are promised 1,000 years, you see, we are not serious. We want to have just 30, 40 years of an enjoyment that is not even cheap. Let's take it this way. If even God gives you 100 years to live on this earth, you and I can attest that the first 30 years of your life will be a lot. If you are born into a rich home, you will not even start having the enjoyment. Is that not so? Is that not so? 100 years against 1,000 years is not 10%. It means that nobody has even come close to 10% of the enjoyment God has for us in the kingdom manifestation. Let me suffer for righteousness. Let us suffer for righteousness. Let this tribulation, let us go through it. Because one day we will sit and then look up and remember that it was better to go through it. So the Bible said that we through many tribulations. What even breaks my heart more is that it's not only the 1,000 rains that await us. The Bible says that there are rewards. There are crowns. Oh, Jesus. Beyond the 1,000 years are crowns. Crowns of righteousness, crowns of glory. There are rewards. He said, thou faithful servant, enter into my kingdom. He was rewarded. Oh, not only are we going to reign for 1,000 years, that we are having rewards that will overlive us eternity. You see, it is the good life we have chosen. Not all of us will buy a car. My father served God 45 years. The most expensive hotel he slept in was what I got for him. It was 500 series. He never drove any kind of good car. He died in the village. But I know that man sold himself for Christ. He gave everything for God. And one day, when I see him enjoying his 1,000 years, I will not be jealous because he deserves it. Let us not be deceived with this kind of soft life Christianity, thinking that suffering is not part of the whole call. It's a lie. when we suffer for Christ's sake, it's a good thing. So the early church, they embrace persecution, knowing that when they die, something better awaits them. Rewards, crowns, reigning with Christ. See, a religion that cannot promise you something for future is not a religion to be in. Jesus has given us a better promise. A better promise. So why do we think that if we are training in the school of warfare to learn to endure? That's what I said, next teaching. We're going to learn how to survive. When the Bible keeps on telling the believer to endure, to overcome, to remain faithful in Christ, it's become persistent. Persistent awaits it. The Bible says when God gives, He gives beyond. Pressed down, shaking together. It is not a different world that we are going to rule the 1,000 years. So this Accra will be here. See, we are going, I'm telling you, this Accra, it will be here. The USA that you have tried all your years to travel and you couldn't reach, I said you will get access for free. The White House, you enter for free. Better than it. Because when Christ comes, you deliver the kingdom to the Father and all authority shall be seized. 1,000 years, the church and Christ will rule in peace. You can miss out. It will be very painful that your story will be narrated as it is said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15. First Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15. Moses, let me show you something. You can miss out. You see, it's not about seeing the kingdom. It is about partaking. The Bible said that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So these things are, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, said these things are written for example, that through it we may what? Not commit what they committed. What did Moses do? Moses saw the promise of God. He never entered. He never partake in the inheritance. Not only Moses. Almost an entire generation was wiped out without not what? We can all start the journey together, but you can miss out. If anyone works is bent, are you following me? He will suffer what? Loss. But he himself will be what? Saved, yet so as to what? Fire. These are people who couldn't persevere. Their works couldn't stand. As for the heaven, you will enter, but you will not reign with us. You will be a second class citizen. We will reign over you. We will rule over you. There are wars. You will be there. You will clap for us. We will be taking it. Your head will be without crown. No glory for you. I don't want that kind of life for you. So I said persevere. I said through tribulation enter. Whatever you are going through will not kill you. In the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, we are pressed down. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. He said, we are pressed, but we are not destroyed. Whatever you are going to, will not kill you. Even if it kills you physically, it will not kill you spiritually. We must raise people who understand that the warfare we are exposed to, there's an aspect called tribulation. And this understanding will help you prepare yourself that the things I'll go through, I'll suffer for Christ. You see, there are things we suffer for the sins we committed. They are different. I'm not talking about that. There are things we suffer because of the things we are. The Bible said, Peter said, if you suffer for the wrongs you have done, it's not what. But when you suffer for what you have not done, this is what I'm talking about. There are sufferings you suffer not because your certificate is wrong, not because you didn't do the right thing, it's because you are a Christian. And it's part of the warfare. I pray for you. Remember the story I shared with you. My yam and contumist you. Let it stay with you. That one day, it shall be to you in heaven. That because of the shame and the pain and things you want, you cut short your training. You chose another way, and now you are paying the price. Shall we lift up our voice and say, Lord, help us. That we, through many tribulations will enter this kingdom of manifestation. Help us, Lord. Shana manakovo lo mosaya. Randa babosaya baha. O randa brasabaya. Kondo lo bosaya. That we through many tribulations, that we through many tribulations shall enter this kingdom of manifestation. We can't afford to lose this reward. Lift up and pray for grace. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. Lord, help us. Give us strength. Give us strength. Give us strength. Membros share their cabrasaya. So that when we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Yes, we will be hard pressed. You will be hard pressed, but it will not crush you. Yeah, we will be perplexed, but not in despair. Kovre brasata palando sheya. O rababo shenele bebebe. O randa bako sataya. We cannot exchange dicks for anything. So Lord, give us grace. Give us grace. Lift up your voice and pray. That Lord, you will help us to stand. Oh Jesus. See, that's what you turn your back to the world and embrace the cross. If you can find this song lyrics for me, Old Ragged Cross. Old Ragged Cross. If anybody knows how to sing that song, I will cling to the old ragged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I will cling to the old ragged cross
till my trophy is at last I lay down.
I will cling to the old ragged cross and exchange it someday
for a crown.
Let's start.
On a hill far away to the old ragged cross.
Now my call ever. Song, he knew all we were talking about. He said that if you want to follow me, carry your cross. If we cling onto this old ragged cross, one day we will exchange it. Oh, that cross, we are going to exchange it. I don't know what tribulation you are going through. You have been looking for a job, you are going difficult times, you have been rejected, nobody cares about you. You feel like life has given up on you. You want to have a second thought. You want to cut corners. You want to forsake the principles you are raised with. Hold on to that cross. Hold on to that cross. Oh, hold on to that cross. Oh, Jiva Brasanda Kabaya.
Gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.